What's up, brother? How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. Shotgun Mulligan podcast, your boy Moonshine. CC Stats on here, man. It's been about a month and a half. How's it going, brother? You doing all right?
Things are well. School year's off to a good start. Actually played a little golf since the last time we talked.
Let's go.
Probably That's about right. 7 or 8 rounds. Played at King's Mill. Yeah, it was good. It was a good summer. I'm happy to be back on here. Things are full swing here in this household. But yeah, things are well. Can't complain. How about you?
Good, man. You know, I told you about some of the changes going on in the family. So, you know, been a little busy, but things are good, man. We've been busy. Dude, the golf, it's in a way, it's been kind of crazy that we've been off a while, but there's been so much stuff going on for the last couple months. It's been kind of cool because I've been hitting up Instagram a little bit here and there, you know, keeping the chatter going, but knew eventually we'd pop back on and get this rolling again about every other week or so.
Yeah.
So appreciate all the fans that if we got some still that are going to keep listening to us, man, we're going to keep it rolling through the fall season. You got the top 25 of the Corn Ferry, man. Did you see that special on the Golf Channel with the new guys coming up?
I have not seen it yet. I know what you're talking about. I have not seen it yet.
We're going to have to slide some of them on the pod, man. There's some cool, interesting dudes, you know, coming up. You know, we had our younger guys coming up with Novak and Wu and all them last year. So we'll bring in some new content, hopefully get some of those guys coming up on the PGA Tour this year.
Absolutely.
Got to support them. But, man, I got to fill you in. So, summer golf. So, how was King's Mill? You need to fill me in on that.
King's Mill was good. I played a lot of golf in the month of July leading up to it. My game was in pretty good form considering I hadn't really played a lot. We went down Friday, played pretty well. Well, we went down Friday, played Saturday, and did a practice round. Shot like an 82. Straight the ball well, was fired up. Sunday, I did not hit the ball off the tee as well. We ended up shooting, I think, 6 or 7 under. So we ended up finishing sixth place net, which was not terrible. It was one worse than we did last year. Mm-hmm. But we actually played better as a team than we did last year. We had a stretch probably 6 or 7 in a row where we had between 9 and 15 feet for birdie and couldn't make anything.
So yeah,
greens were very slow for King's Mill, which was shocking. I know we've had a lot of heat, not a lot of rain. So I'm obviously that had something to do with it. But overall, it was a good experience. Got to go down, hang out with my friend Kathleen, who teaches out at the KMR Golf Academy that she owns and runs out in the Bay Area. So that was fun.
Nice.
So I can't complain. Took the fam this time. So
sweet, fam
got
man.
To hang out at the pool and the river pool. But yeah, well,
Williamsburg, right?
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Nice.
King's Mill is top notch. It was a good time. We had a good time. We actually talked about saying when we finished at like 3 o'clock, let's find another day to stay. But we had to get back to work. So it is what it is.
Might have to bring the bourbon down there. I actually was thinking about that.
There you go.
Do a little combo, Golden Horseshoe and King's Mill. Yeah. Silly.
There you go. Because King's Mill's got 3 courses and Horseshoe's got a couple. So,
yep. Yeah, nice. Man. That's sweet, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Is there a lot of holes on the river and stuff? Because it's the river, the main attraction course, right? Is the river. Did you play that or
really,
you play the one inland?
Yeah, there really is not a lot of holes right on the river. Not a lot of water. Let me think. A little bit of water, not a ton. Some little bit of like marshland stuff, but yeah, believe it or not, 17 and 18 are really the only ones that are right on the river, and the only one that's really truly on the river is 17.
Oh wow, is that a par 3 or something?
It is a par three.
Signature hole.
Played anywhere between like one day we played it at 165, 170, and the next day it played like at 160. So it's kind of a tough little par 3 for me. It is.
Nice, man.
Good. It's a good layout. Every hole's a little bit different. It's challenging. So I got a good feel for the course. And actually that tournament's going to be back there next year again. So maybe I'll get another invite.
Silly. Pro-am in it, man.
Yeah.
So dude,
How about you, man?
So we went down to the bourbon. We'll get you next year with a better school schedule down like late fall. So we went to Western North Carolina. Didn't really know much about the area. Craig had heard about it a little bit and played in North Georgia, which was pretty close to the border there. So basically, like for our listeners, we were about 40 minutes west of Asheville in the Smoky Mountains. There's a little town, Cherokee and Maggie Valley, if anyone's heard of that. So hit up a bunch of nice courses. The best one though, Sequoia National, this place is a must go stats. It was amazing.
I saw the pictures and I was jealous, very jealous that I did not take 2 days off right when teachers came back to go play.
It's like, I'm sorry, don't fire me, but I'm going to take off.
I probably could have pulled it, but next year, maybe if you did it next year, that time, I'd probably make it happen.
Dude, the elevation changes plus the conditions, it was wild. I mean, it was just all these carries off the tee box. We all were idiots. We played the tips because the tips were 6,600 or something. We're like, okay, you know, that's a fair distance. We, you know, for the bourbon, we usually do 6,200 to 66 or so. That's usually a pretty forgiving distance for most people, you know, a little long for some, a little short for some, but the carries off the tee box on the back nine, they're all 200 carries up the hill. So the front nine is pretty much all downhill. So you got all these downhill dog rights. So you're hitting pitching wedges 30 yards further than you normally do. I mean, it's a lot of just challenging, you know, what am I going to hit on this hole? Keeping it straight, keeping it in play. So the boys, the Virginia boys got us again. So unfortunately, West Virginia and Bridgewater, we did a little combo team, lost. Your boy did win his match play, though, so I've got a 2-1 record on the match play.
Nice.
Did some work, but
we had a good time. I still like my 1-0 match play record versus your brother.
So I know. You got the 1-0, and Kyle Hammond's got the 1-0. There's a couple guys lingering with the 1-0 records.
We'll get it back.
Me and Callie Craig got the 2-1 record. He lost the first year, but, yeah, so they got to keep building it up, man. It was a good time. We missed you.
I have a question, though. How did Trackman fare on his match play?
He did. He did well, man. He harnessed the men's CC stats energy, man.
Him
and Rick had a battle. So supposedly the whole match, it was a perfect matchup. I'm glad I matched them up. Two guys, similar handicap, playing about the same. You know, Rick had only played a few times over the summer and Tristan the same. They were just going back and forth. One was up one was up two, was up one. And then it just went to the back nine and they finished, I think, only like one stroke off each other. And
wow.
I think Tristan won two up or something with two to play or something. So, he won 2-1 or something like that. But it was a good matches. A lot of them were pretty close, a lot of them to the wire. We lost a lot of the best ball match plays. So that hurt us quite a bit. Scrambles, your boys got rained out, so it could have been a, you know, moonshine gets hard for the scramble. Love it, dude. But no, good time, man. So Sequoia National, can't say enough about them folks. They treated the greens, they punched the greens, and they told us that it was one of the most professional before getting there situations. They're like, well, our conditions will be great, but we're punching the greens. They must have told us like six times that they're punching the greens before. Just want to let you know, we're going to do our best with them. And it couldn't have been a better experience. The whole rest of the course was immaculate. And we're all dealing with punch greens. Of course, it's sanded and punched. So
right.
It's never easy to putt on that, but it was great. They were fabulous. Can't say much about the other place we played. There's a long story about that. Management sucked. So I'm not even going to mention their name.
To get that off air.
Yeah, it was a little – I don't like trashing courses because I love golf and I don't want to trash anybody, but I'll let you know about that. But Sequoia National, hit it up, listeners.
Got it.
Great time.
I'm in. Let's go.
So we do have to hit on it. It's been hit on in all media sources, but the drama is unreal right now, man.
It's crazy. Like, honestly, I don't even want a golf tournament. I just want to – let's just – I saw the video yesterday. I thought there was going to be a pushing and shoving match at Wentworth.
Oh, like, yeah.
God rest the queen for – you know, I know she passed away. It might be a good thing that the tournament didn't get it finished.
That
it does. Because there might have been some choice words exchanged throughout the tournament if some guys got paired up on the weekend. So,
oh, absolutely.
And it's not just one guy; it's multiple guys. John Rahm saying stuff, Billy Horschel saying stuff, Rory's line yesterday said, "Well, you know, if it comes down to Sunday, he goes, they ought to be pretty tired." I mean, that right there. I mean, that's a highlight of the year right there. So. It's pretty intense. I mean, I watched a little bit on Sunday of Live. We had this long debate, I think, the last time we talked. Like, I don't understand what Live is trying to do to truly grow the game.
Right.
And I'm getting a little tired of the answer, like, oh, it was truly too hard of a money to pass up. Okay. If they're going to play 30 tournaments or 25 tournaments a year, that's fine. And it sounds like they're going to up it from 8 to more than 14 next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, the more and more I think about it, like Tiger said it, Gary Player said it, Fred Couples. I don't know if you saw Fred Couples, what he said.
Yeah, he's going hard on him, too.
I saw that last week, and that was a classic.
He said an exhibition match or something, right?
Yeah. He might have been worse than he came out. Hold on, let me see if I can find this. Let's see. Where's my boy Freddie Couples? He said to all my friends who I miss birthdays and weddings, so sorry. I was busy earning a living on the PGA tour. And in my line of work, the goal is to earn, all in caps, your way to work weekends. And by weekends, I mean 72 holes. Sorry, not sorry.
I'd have to say that the PGA tour is winning the battle right now, though, with the support and I don't know, the energy is sweet. Their guys are kind of bonding together. I didn't even know how much I thought I didn't like Billy Horschel, but he just straight up, man. I can't.
He's been straight up the whole entire time.
And it's great. He said, I'm not going to hate on any of these guys for making a decision, but he goes, I'm going to feel the way I feel about it. And right. Like, these dudes shouldn't be here. And he makes a good point. There's a lot of dudes that are really fighting hard. And we've talked to a lot of these guys that are on and off Corn Ferry, making it on the PGA Tour. And you are taking a spot from one of those dudes. You took the money up mm-hmm. front to do this other tour. So accept it. And sure, they need to find ways to get world ranking. So that's why they're doing it. But mm-hmm. it does take a spot from guys really grinding, trying to make a living. So you got these guys that all made all this cash and then it's just doubling down.
Well, and on that note, I don't know if you read, I read it before we came on, Graham McDowell talking about how he understands where he's taking a spot from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he truly considered withdrawing from the event this week to allow somebody else to play. But he felt like he was on a needs basis. He needs to play to kind of keep where he's going. And so I appreciate his honesty in that. I don't know if a lot of other guys would have come out and said that. So I appreciate right. that. I mean, he's probably in the latter stages of his career. There's some guys I do understand it.
Yes.
But like Cam Smith, Abraham Mancer, Joaquin Neiman. Like, I don't, and there's more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite get it. There's some guys I understand it, but I don't know. Like, I had this long debate with somebody and we were talking about TV deal and they're like, they don't need it. They don't care. I mean, I'm sure they'll get one, but they don't need the TV deal. I don't think they really give two hoots if they have a TV deal because they're putting it out there to the entire world on YouTube. Anybody can view it and look at the crowds that they're drawing. I don't know what their numbers were like in Boston or in New Jersey, but I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to keep going. I think it's going to be interesting now that the President's Cup. I mean, I feel for the guys that are on the President's Cup team for the international team, but I think they're going to fight hard and they're going to fight, give everything they got.
Yeah, so. And it might actually be a worse situation for the U.S. because I think that those guys are such underdogs that they're mm-hmm. going to try to rally the best they can. I mean, they don't have bad golfers on their team.
No.
I mean, depending on how they play, I mean, a lot of those guys are very good. M and Siwoo and all them and some of the other guys that got pulled in are good players. You know, they had some pretty good captain's picks, but your boy is juiced about our captain's picks. You know, with the Billy Ho energy, we got Kevin Kisner.
Kisner's the match play slayer,
baby.
He's ready to rip somebody's throat out is what he said.
he's ready to go because he's like, man, you can hit. He said or whatever the other day that you can hit a terrible shot here, third shot on the green, 15 feet, drain your par, and then they miss their par putt. And it's just like, sorry, bro. You can play horrible, and if you just drain putts like he's going to, it'd be fine.
Did you see the reporter asked Rory? They said, hey, Rory, if they came to you and said, would you be willing to play for the rest of the world? He goes, Yeah. Have you seen me play at Quail Hollow before?
Yeah, we do not want Rory to play at Quail Hollow. That would not be good for us, especially him match play. But
I just don't know what the means, where the end is. Like, what's the end for this? Like, if Liv truly, I guess, let's see where they are a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
1 year from now, going into their second full season, where are they going to be? What's the, who else goes? Because I know, you know, there's going to be other guys go. I mean, they have 17 in the top 50. There's going to be other guys that are going to make the jump. What's it going to look like? Like, are they going to have, I don't remember what I heard. I thought they were making the jump to more than 14 events next year. I did hear the other day on a local radio station that there will be a DC tournament next year.
Just go like full live after we get one of the events.
Well, and it doesn't surprise me because I think they're truly, you got to give Liv some credit. They're targeting golf crowds where they don't have a PGA Tour event.
Yeah. I mean, they are. So the good things about Liv, I mean, I can't totally discount some of the things that they're doing. So I was having a debate with another buddy at the Bourbon about it, is that the different golf club, you know, teams is an interesting setup. Because I mean, basically what the hope they say for is it's like a regular football club premiership type thing where eventually someone buys rights to the team, drafts people, you know, you're not producing, I'm going to pick up somebody else. Yep. But the thing that they're missing with that, they do have it with the international guys, but I think with our US guys, they're missing it a little bit, is that they need some type of cohesion in terms of the teams. You know, guys from maybe the Northeast or guys from the Southeast of the U.S. because they have a lot of the Aussies together, and that, and for the international guys, that's kind of a good route. But it's like four random U.S. guys from all over the place. I mean, how are you going to back a team like that?
My only rebuttal to that is look at the Four Aces, and they've won three in a row as a team.
They are kind of silly. And, team is tight.
You know, Pat Perez coming out saying, he goes, he basically doubled his money what he won on the PGA Tour in the past 2 years, winning $4.75 million. So,
well, him and HV3 are two guys that, I mean, I don't really get on them too much about it. They both were straight up. They said that it's a business decision.
Yep.
I'm making this money for my family. HV3 is saying he's going to be able to make so much more money for his foundation and stuff. Correct. That totally makes sense. He's a good player and he's competed a little bit on the PGA Tour, but he's not winning tournaments on the PGA Tour. So it totally makes sense. Same with Pat Perez. He's been up there.
Right.
He's won some tournaments over his career, but he's kind of in that in between the Champions Tour, PGA Tour. I think that it makes total sense for those dudes, but the younger guys, like you're saying, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, I think the long-term, just this whole situation is not, I don't think it's going to long-term be great for them.
Well, it's like Cam Smith coming out and saying that he's got more time to do whatever and spend more time in Australia. Okay. I don't fault you for that, but when you want to play the best and you are one of the best, you're not going to stay in Australia and play. So you're going to come to the U.S. and play over here, which is what mm-hmm. he's done. And I don't know if Liv's planning on having more U.S. tournaments. Maybe. I don't know. But I don't understand it. Like, I don't. There's things that I do understand, and there's some things I don't. And I'm just trying to figure out what's this all going to come up. Like, I do truly want to come back a year from today. And it's like, all right, where is Liv now? And I still think they're going to be around, and I think they're going to have more guys. I mean, if they get into 25 of the top 50, it's really going to get competitive. Like,
right.
And honestly, if I'm the PGA Tour at that point, I'm like, you know what? Let's go head to head. Let's set up some matches or set up some tournaments or, you know, some prime time stuff. Cause I think that's only going to benefit, not only that'll benefit both of them.
Right. Well, the thing that I don't get is why. So Phil's rebuttal is like, where's all this money before and all this? But I think there could have been other ways that they could have, you know, in all the other sports, they do lockouts or they, you know, they don't play or something, you know, to do some type of protest and then get the league to do some negotiations.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why that never happened or what their agreements are. I don't know if they have different player agreements in the PGA Tour that are different than NFL, or if they don't have negotiating power or something. But I don't think it's actually pushing the game in the right direction, because all it's doing is causing divisiveness, because basically LIV's total marketing strategy is to do everything that people don't like about the PGA Tour.
Correct.
You know, no cuts, less golf, cooler events, you know, more caddy, like, you know, player, everything that you've ever heard that argument about the PGA Tour coverage or not enough golf, this and that. And there are the things that, you know, PGA Tour should list, and there's some things that they need to improve on. But sometimes, like, it's just been so the other way about it. You know, they're just trying to find everything, pick apart everything that they don't like about the PGA Tour, because that's their angle. Yeah. Which from a business sense isn't a bad thing, but I would like to see both the tours sort of get along a little bit. You know, like you're saying, maybe do a head-to-head competition, say, hey, we're not going to get along on a lot of things because we're a competing tour, but you bring your best, we'll bring our best. Let's do a Ryder Cup style event. That would be insane. People would go nuts over that.
Here's the next big thing. Like, what's going to happen? You have the Players' Championship in March. You have the Masters in April. You have the PGA Championship in May. You have the U.S. Open in June. And you have, what's going to happen next year? Are they going to kick them out? Are they going to tell them no? Because if you do that, and I don't think it's going to happen, because if they say by February 1, they have 22 to 25 guys that have made the jump, first of all, that's over half of what their field is, because they only have 48 golfers, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So, or maybe 54 golfers. So it's about a half. So now it's going to happen. They're not going to allow those guys to play the Players' Championships. So now you have, just right now, 17 of the top 50 in the world are not going to be able to play. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to really hurt the PGA Tour. I mean, sure, it's going to give more opportunities for some guys that didn't have the opportunity, but it's going to make both tours less unique to me.
True.
And it's going to be like watching a subpar PGA Tour field week and a subpar LIV field week. You know, you got DJ and all them on the LIV that are interesting to watch. That's why I tuned in a little bit, 'cause I do like watching DJ play a little bit and some other guys, but it's more golf. I mean, I can't say that I completely didn't watch any of the LIV I watched on Sunday. You know, I like golf. So, I mean,
well, that's the other thing. Like, so going back into that, do you think the Masters are going to keep these guys from playing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that hurts. I think the Masters are so on another
level,
kind of planet and level, that they want the best. They don't care.
Well, they're not going to keep past champions out.
Right. And I also didn't like Bubba's stance on it too. He's going all hard ass. Like, he goes, you know, if they don't want me there, then, you know, I don't even want to be there. I mean, come on.
Right.
Like, they're going to want you there. So don't come at them yet. You don't know yet what their stance is. And if Ridley's waiting it out, he's seeing what's going on, he's going to eventually make his decision. But I don't see them X-ing out anybody, because especially past champions, at least.
I think the one thing that, if you look at it, you have the DP World Tour is allowing these guys to play, which people are not happy about. Players are not happy about. I don't know about people in general. The problem is they have the PGA Tour. If all these other majors allow them to play, the PGA Tour is on its own little island. And that's where I'm wondering if the golf community kind of turns their back a little bit on the PGA Tour and be like, well, we want fun. We want... And I think some of what Jay Monahan has done has been obviously reactive versus proactive. I think if he had been a little bit more proactive on some things, I think it might not have been as successful so far. You might have less guys have gone. I still think guys would have gone. And I think what they've come up with is reasonable. I mean, 12 events, 20 million guaranteed, smaller fee, whatever, doing some more team events. But I just worry that the PGA Tour could be stuck out on an island, especially if they're allowing these guys to still play on the DP World Tour.
Right.
Which I don't think the PGA Tour was – I don't think they were anticipating.
I don't think they were either. So that's – I wonder what their talks are right now. you know, after that situation, because they have to be hard and against them because they are a completely competing tour and they're stripping some of these guys away with cash. But they have to, I think you would think, like you're saying, Jay Monahan would have to bend a little bit at some point and sit down with Norman and say, hey, we're going to compete against you guys because, you know, we have two different business models. You want the best players. We want the best players. And let's just somewhat get along and do like some events against each other. Maybe they offset some of their events during kind of, we talked about this too. The Live offset some of their events with some of the down weeks of the PGA right. Tour. And I think that would be awesome for golf. That would actually be great for golf as, you know, the fall season where the Corn Ferry guys are trying to make yep. their name, you know, some of these other guys, they're fine events to watch and things like that, but it's more for these young golfers coming up. Well, that's when the Live should heat up. So then there's something else that some of the top golfers you can watch throughout the fall, because they're not going to play a lot of those events through Napa and the other ones. But
well, here's the one thing I know we do agree on, definitely, not that we disagree. Them allowing shorts is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
So dumb. When I saw that, I saw
your post.
I was like six beers deep, sitting in bed, and I see Greg Norman jumping into shorts. I'm like, I literally can't watch this.
They were talking about Lee Westwood in shorts and his high socks, his calf socks, and they're like, it doesn't work.
It's not.
I don't want to see DJ's skinny legs either. Just keep the pants on.
Yeah, just keep the pants on, man.
Well, their next event is next weekend, I believe. I think it's next weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have a couple weeks left. I think they have Chicago. They have.
Where are they playing in the Chicago? Are they doing Medina or?
No, they're playing in. Let's see. Chicago, they are at Rich Harvest Farms. And then the weekend of Columbus Day weekend, they go to Bangkok. And then mid-October, they go to Saudi Arabia. And then they close. The last weekend in October in Doral. Now, I guess technically the last weekend is in Saudi Arabia. Doral is the team event.
Mm-hmm.
So, because whoever's winning the points at the end of week seven is essentially the winner. So, but yeah, man, it's so they still have what, four events? Chicago, Bangkok. They still have four events left. Three standalones, and then one is just a team event. So.
Yeah, I think it was interesting too, though, is I saw one last thing I want to tell you about it is someone had a good kind of photo capture of DJ making the putt and then Lahiri and them just kind of walking off the green smiling, not really caring. I mean, you can catch people in weird moments and maybe they were really upset that they lost, but it did seem different.
It did seem different to you? They're still getting paid. I mean, they had guaranteed money whether they won or lost.
Right. It doesn't matter that much to them. And that's what their model is a little not the best because they don't really care. I mean, right. I'm sure they're competitors. They care, but it's just not, they don't care as much.
Right.
Because they're not fighting for $2 million versus $200,000. Like that's right. huge. You know how some of those events, it drops off quite a bit. Like the winner will win $1 million, $2 million. And then second one's $1 million or something. And then it halves from that. It's like 500K. And then it's, you know, whatever down. I mean, it literally changes quite a bit from top player down to the even like top 10.
Here's my question. What are they going to do? How many ever golfers they have? 54, 48. What are they going to do if they get more guys? Some of these guys, like Henny Dupuy, who finished like top three in the first event. He's not a high ranked golfer. If you're going to continue to don't play well, they're like, all right, you get the boot. I mean, I think that's already happened.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. They do shorter contracts for the younger guys that are lower. And they're like, you get a three events or something. And if you can't produce, kind of like the Andy Ogletree, I think he had a single tournament thing and he was on all the Instagram stories of the plus, whatever he was the first tournament. And then he's gone. But then these guys get thrown, okay, they get thrown off the tour, and then what do? Supposedly, exactly. I read an article about someone, one of the Spanish guys was having a real tough time getting back on the DP World Tour. because he did one live event, and then he's, I guess he, they probably either revoked his status or he had to work somehow to get hard to get back on. Supposedly he's playing this week or something, but.
Well, the PGA Tour has already said that they are not granting anybody, they're not reinstating anybody for next year.
I don't blame them. I think that these guys should be able to play, to be honest, I think they should be able to play the majors. Mm-hmm. I think the PGA Tour has the right to say no players or no PGA Championship. I mean, that kind of makes sense. Those are their two like PGA Tour events. Because I don't like these guys double dipping, you know, when they were the freaking Taylor Gooches and them suing and Hudson Swafford. Dude, you can't even win a fucking PGA Tour event. Like, no disrespect to Scott Hamilton. He was a great dude, and I know he taught Hudson for a while, but come on, like that's some bitch stuff. Like you can't literally go over, get paid a ridiculous amount of money. You're horrible on the PGA Tour. Occasionally you have some decent finishes, and then sue the PGA Tour because you can't go into the FedEx playoffs. Okay, he was good enough to make the FedEx playoffs, so I won't trash him too much. But you weren't going to win the FedEx playoffs. You weren't going to even probably make it past the first event of the FedEx playoffs. So don't double dip, man. Like, you took the money. Like, live with it. You can't do both. And then you got all these cats like Cam Smith that play through the FedEx so they can get paid. And then they sign their deal right when they finish up. It's some bullshit. I hated that. That was dumb. Sorry, had to be a moonshine rant on that one.
That was a good one.
Hudson Swafford and Taylor Gooch. I don't like either of those dudes now.
How about Gooch getting into it with Billy Ho on Twitter the other day?
Yeah, I know. Come on. Billy Ho is like the nicest dude ever. He just literally is stating how he feels. He just totally, hey guys, like, I don't think you should be here. He goes, I'll talk to you straight up. And a lot of dudes aren't like that. He's okay for confrontation. He goes, I like Ian and them. And they're like basically chest bumping out on the freaking putting green.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall right now over there. I'd love to be there.
Dude, it's going to get fiery, man. The tension is building. This tournament is just going to continue to build. It's going to just.
Well, yeah, because you're gonna have guys trying to play for the DP Championship, and there's gonna be guys there,
right? And just think if one of the LIV dudes win, you know, the PGA Tour dudes, like if they're coming down to like Rory versus Patrick Reed or something, you know, it's just gonna be nutty.
It'll be crazy.
Then Patrick Reed bouncing around the Saudi King with his LIV golf stuff. Like let me sport him and Ian. I can't stand them, dude.
We'll have to get into that next time. I know we still got a little bit more, but the next time we have more time, we have to talk about Patrick Reed and his lawsuit against Brandel Chambly.
Yeah, he's such a – oh, God, dude. I can't we'll save these a little dudes. Bit of these lawsuits are dumb. But could you expect anything less from Patrick Reed?
Not at all.
So
I'm sure we – sooner or later, we'll be included in the lawsuit.
Right. So one story I have to fill you in on from the bourbon that brings it up, just speaking to Patrick Reed, I have confirmation that him and his wife are horrible human beings.
Oh, really?
So we met a random guy, and I'm not going to like give any specifics because I don't want to call him out or get him in trouble, because there's probably a lot of people that do this job. So we're going to just be completely pretty vanilla about it in terms of where he lives or what he does. But he piss tests PGA Tour players randomly. Okay, so they just like go up to the people, they tap them on the shoulder, just like any big event. Right. Hey, you got to go pee in a cup. And a lot of other interesting conversations happened with this guy, you know, when we were talking to him, because he had some interesting info. But someone asked, how's Patrick Reed? And he goes, might you say Patrick Reed? He goes, I went up to drug test him after he won something or after one of the events. Justine turns around to him and is like, who are you to like tap him on and say that he has to do this right now? He doesn't need to do this right now. What is wrong with you? You know, just going into this dude. And that's his job. You know, that's how these doping testers have to do. It's just part of the job. You go up, you say, hey, right when they come off the playing field. My brother had this in national wrestling tournament and the NCAAs, they, right when you get off the mat, they randomly pick a few guys. They're like, hey, you got to go take a piss test.
Right.
You know, to make sure they're not doping or whatever. But she completely went at him, you know, just what, who are you to say that he needs to like go do this? And so the Reed family, go ahead and sue me. I ain't got much money. So
she's just trying to ride that gravy train.
She is. She got that live money.
She got that live money now.
Saudi prince, the Saudi prince, Patrick Reed. I do got one bomb to give you right before we finish up the next little segment before we get off here, is that no matter what the decision of the LIV Golf and the PGA Tour for the Masters, your boy won the lottery for Thursday.
Oh,
let's go.
Let's go.
I got the email literally, and I waited to tell you for the podcast. And my dad thankfully doesn't listen to the podcast. And if he does, I'm going to be so upset because I'm surprising him for Christmas. And he's hopefully he doesn't have a heart attack when he opens the gift and says, we're going to the Masters on Thursday. But I got the email, dude, and I almost had a heart attack as well. I'm like, this is dumb. I saw the Masters, but I did see congratulations in the email line. So I thought it was just like, congratulations, you know, something. I was like, there's no way I won it. And it's like, congratulations, you won the lottery. Feel free to click here and
to pay for your tickets.
I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, I got an Airbnb. I got an Airbnb you can stay at, that me and Trackman.
I'm staying in Aiken, where you guys stayed, right? You stayed in Aiken, right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll be there, man. Can't wait.
I have to talk to track, man. I have to score some more tickets because I'm off that week.
So stats, man, I have to ask you, because this is part of the show, what are you drinking tonight? I saw a little glimpse of it, but I want to see if that's what you're still sipping on.
Well, I'm not sipping on anything. I have a glass of water over on the side, but I was drinking a little Malty Miller on our first segment, a big tall can of Malty Miller it's kind of funny. My wife, we had a baseball tournament last weekend that we helped run, and she ran out to the store in between games because I was going to be there late, and she got me a few Malty Millers throwing the cooler. So
nice. Late
afternoon while I was getting some fields ready, I just cracked open a Malty Miller. But yeah,
attaboy.
Yeah,
biscuit beer. I mean, if you like the malt, then it's good stuff.
I've been drinking a lot of Malty Millers lately. It's kind of been weird. I'm a little low on some IPAs, but honestly, my go-to as of late has been the old Nooners.
Nooners.
Yeah, High Noons.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Attaboy.
But yeah. No bourbon. Although I did pick up, I hit the lottery. I was driving home from work about 3 weeks ago. Saw one of the emails came for the limited product dropped. I said, oh, wonder where it's at. Well, its store happened to be a mile and a half away. And it was literally like 3 minutes after the email came out. I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I got in the other lane, turned up the street. Got there, man, you thought it was freaking like a marathon. People were running in the store. Oh, some wow. Dude parked next to me all cattywampus. I was like, holy crap, what is going on? And it was actually the first time I'd ever walked in and they actually didn't have the stuff behind the counter. They actually had it up on the shelf.
Oh, really?
So I walked to the back. They had big bottles of Buffalo, which I'd actually just gotten about 3 weeks prior to that. So I have a big bottle of like full handle of Buffalo and another small bottle. So that's pretty silly. And they had some other stuff. And then I kind of peeked because I couldn't see. And they had some Eagle Rare. So your boy finally landed himself a bottle of Eagle Rare. So I haven't opened that yet.
Eagle Rare is money. It's so good.
Although the week I got the Buffalo, I walked in. They had like Elijah Craig toast and some other stuff. I was like, oh, I'll just take the big bottle of Buffalo. I was like, just hold it. I'm going to go back and look at what you currently have. Wasn't paying attention. Dude walks in behind me literally a minute later. He goes, I'll take the Booker's.
Oh, jeez. The Booker's.
Like, damn it.
I got me a little Booker's up there. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't had it yet.
It's strong. It's some strong stuff, man. You got to go easy on it. It's high proof, but it's good stuff.
I'm pretty happy. I stopped today at a store.
Yeah, Eagle Rare is money, man.
Yeah.
Dude, the Eagle Rare is one of those that I try to sip on and just keep it, but it's real smooth. It's like Buffalo on steroids.
All right. All right, I'm glad to hear that.
It's real smooth. It's got a good taste. It's not too sweet. It's not too rye. You know, it's a nice kind of blended taste. You know.
So, but you'll currently, yes, water.
Water.
Water's what I'm sipping on.
So your boy, I'm just finishing it, and it's probably going to be I'm only going to drink one of these because it's a little high gravity at the 9.4%. So I'm only going to have one. I will stop by Aslan, got quite a haul there, and got Johann Baza Brot. It's a double IPA brewed with pineapple, mandarin oranges, and vanilla.
That'd
it's
be right up my alley.
So good. It's a juicy IPA, and it does not taste like a 9.4%. So it could be very dangerous. It's not alcoholic at all. It's very smooth. Tastes like any normal double IPA or IPA. It's really good.
I got a couple double IPAs. I got a Fairwinds and Solace collaboration. That's like a 9.2. And then I still have some Jailbreak Fairwinds collaboration. It's called PLD, Poor Life Decisions.
Nice. You need to get, too, if you get up to Aslan, is get the Master of Karate. That's a pretty solid double IPA.
I think
IPA
I've had
too.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That one's pretty good. I had that one earlier.
I'm about to roll over there this weekend.
Yeah, boy, got a haul. So before we roll, I've been watching some football. So sorry for the sound bite on the listeners when I came on. I forgot the game was still on volume, but man, what a game right now, dude! Yeah. Josh Allen's looking like Tom Brady out there.
My boy will be happy because he's got Josh Allen on his fantasy team. So yeah, he's nickel and diamond, and
he's looking tough, man. Yeah. This game looks like a playoff game right now. It's pretty
stiff
awesome.
Arming people and everything else. I got that on one TV, and I got the chick tennis match on the other.
So do you have like any? So we were kind of talking before we went on air. Both of us really don't have bets on golf because the poor queen passing away kind of locked up some stuff. So I wanted to do like top 20, top 10 and the winner bet. So we don't have anything I don't have anything to give the listeners unless you do, but I do have a couple football bets. It's a little late and it'll come out, but your boy went heavy on the Bills tonight, and not in terms of amount of cash, but you know, just like all the props and the Buffalo Bills over plus winning, did a little nice teaser with them. But the one I'm hoping to get that still to be determined because Diggs and Kupp need to get some touchdowns, but passing yards wise, I think they're going to be fine. It's plus, so 250 combined passing reception yards for Cooper Kupp and Diggs, which are already getting up there, and two TDs. Combined.
I like that one.
So they just got to get some TDs. I mean, the TDs are tough, so who knows? But they both don't have a TD yet, but they're both getting up there in passing yards. I think Diggs is close to probably 80, I think, right now. It's
Diggs
mid third quarter.
69. Diggs has 69 receiving.
Where's Kupp? Kupp had a couple longer ones on the
He's
last draft.
He's got 79 and a TD.
Nice. Always got a TD.
Yep. So like, you're getting there. You're getting there.
I'm at roughly like 140, right? 145.
Yeah, 135.
Need some yards and one more score.
Yeah, you need a little back and forth here in the fourth quarter.
Although the over, I did a teaser, so the over is only 45. But time is ticking right now. They're only at, you know, 27 total points. It's a little low, but we'll see if they're gunslinging or something in the fourth quarter. We'll see.
I haven't looked, other than my fantasy, I haven't looked at a lot of the bets for the weekend, and I probably will, but just looking at a few, I think you take Pittsburgh in the points against the Steelers. I think Trubisky will keep them in the game for most of the game, and I think 6.5 is pretty big between those two teams.
I like that.
Honestly, I'm curious to see how this game, and I actually heard it sold out in Detroit. Detroit plus 4. I think I'd probably take Detroit in the 4 points in that game because I think their defense is going to be better. They're going to be improved.
Who's their quarterback these days?
Rams quarterback, Jared Goff.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Atlanta and New Orleans, I'd probably stay away from that one. It's plus 5.5 is the point spread. 42.5 is the over.
That's one I was going to talk about, is that I think the Saints are going to be sneaky good this year.
Yeah. I mean, as Jameis plays Jameis football, I think they could put up some points. Then you got the old Commanders.
The Commanders.
Two and a half is the spread. Over is four. Over under is 44. I mean, if the Commanders put up 23, 25, 20, I think they're very capable of putting up 28 to 30 points. Mm-hmm. Will they? I don't know.
We'll see. There's a lot to be determined with the old Commanders. So hopefully the Washington hopefuls, hopefully we can get a good season here.
The Washington hopefuls. That's what our name should have been.
So I got one for you, Stats, before we close up here. And this is the most, it's another random Mark, just thoughts, is with all this live talk and all this tonight to close it up. Better golfer, Greg Norman or Johnny Miller?
Ooh. I mean, Norman won what? Two majors?
Two British, right?
Two British. I mean, Miller win.
I think he won four majors, maybe. He never won a Masters, right? But he won US Open, I think, and he won a couple others. But I feel like I was just thinking today, I'm like, they're both talk a big game. They both were very good players.
Yeah.
But they also kind of underperformed. Because you had Johnny Miller thinking that he was Jack Nicklaus, and then, you know, Greg Norman was a stud, but choked in every Masters he was in.
So Johnny Miller won the 1973 US Open and the 76 British Open. Here's the thing. He also finished third in the Masters three times.
Johnny did?
Yes.
Okay, so they're the same, right? So two majors each?
Yep, and he had 36 PGA Tour victories. Norman, hold on one second.
I wonder what his total PGA Tour, because he did win a lot of PGA Tour events, I think.
But Greg Norman had 88 professional wins, 20 on the PGA Tour. I don't think I think obviously Norman played more around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Norman had three Masters seconds, two PGA and two US Open seconds, and won the Open Championship twice. But here's my, and I grew up watching Greg Norman. I would honestly probably have to go with Johnny Miller because the era that he played in. Jack was coming towards the end of his career when Greg Norman was really hot.
Right.
Johnny Miller played in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, but he also played against Arnold, Jack, and Gary. And I think that era was probably pretty damn tough compared to the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I think
that's what I was edging too. You're edging Johnny Miller?
Yeah, I'm going with Johnny Miller.
Yeah, because I think he was a better talent. I mean, so Greg was electrifying. He was one of those dudes that was fun to watch, you know, hit the ball far for his day. And like you're saying, I think time makes a lot of difference. And mm-hmm. that lull of golf during the Greg Norman time, it wasn't the best quality fields. I mean, sure, there has always been good players. But in terms of depth, now is huge depth. When Tiger was real young, it was pretty good.
Yep.
And then when Jack and Miller and all them were going, it was just like quality fields constantly. So he kind of was in a tough position. You know, Jack towards the end of his prime, but still like rolling, Tom Watson, all those dudes, you know.
Yep, I agree.
I hate to give Johnny Miller like props though, because he does love himself. But
he does love himself. But you know what? I think Johnny, even outside of golf, Johnny Miller had a better career even in broadcasting.
That's true.
I mean, Greg Norman gave it a go with Fox and he got the boot.
The shock.
I mean, Fox got the boot, or they gave themselves the boot. So
one or the other. Oh, man, it was a good time, dude.
Absolutely. Can't wait to do it again.
Let's do it again. But your boys just got to keep getting up and down.
Getting up and down. Got to get up in the morning, go down at night.
Yeah.